Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word 60 Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and I want to apologize for saying the wrong month. I guess I'm still in January. But anyway, I just wanted to let you all know that this is a good show, and we're going to definitely have our guests on in a few minutes. But before we get there, I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of admin. We are going to be bringing out a new book here in the month of March, the 19th, and the name of that book is going to be Seductive Company, and it's written by me as well as another author, Sexy India, and we're doing this erotic corporate fantasy for you, and that'll be coming out, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But right now, what I like to do is I want to go ahead and bring our guests on, and we're going to get her to come on and talk to us and tell us about what's going on with her. So without further ado, Tiffany, are you there?
I am.
How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Red Snapper. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and I'm just glad to have you on the show, and I'm glad you had time to come and kind of sup with us here on Word Sexy Radio. And like I said, I do apologize. Sometimes I get a little antsy or something. I was saying the wrong month. I knew it was February, but for some reason I thought it was January. But anyway, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So what I want to do right now is just get everybody a chance. I want to give you a chance to kind of introduce yourself and kind of tell people about, you know, the projects you have out there now, and, you know, then we'll start talking about what's going on in the future with you.
Well, like you said, I am Tiffany Warren. I have published 10 books, actually. I've got two more coming out this year. And for adults, I have in the past written Christian fiction, and I also write young adult fiction under my pen name, Nikki Carter. My new release this year is called Chocolate Dreams, and it's not Christian fiction, but it's mainstream, and it's about three black male authors who go on a book tour, and because they're successful brothers and they're trying to do their thing, I think that they are every woman's chocolate dream, so that's where the title came from.
Okay, so that sounds good the way you did that, and how you went into that without actually really telling us. That's good. See, that's what seasoned authors do, people that's listening. They make sure that they tell you just enough, which is good. So how did you come up with the concept for that story?
Actually, I was at a book signing at the Dock Bookstore. It was Victoria Christopher Murray, and there was another male author there. And he seemed completely uncomfortable with sitting up there in front of a crowd. And it was something that I could relate to because I had that same type of, introverted personality around strangers. I don't really like to sit in front of a crowd. But as an author,
right,
that's like something that you have to do. It's part of it.
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
But I thought about him, you know, if his editor told him, listen, you have to go on this tour. And what would make that, you know, be comfortable for him? And so actually the author in my book, his name is Jake Richmond, and he's being told he has to go on tour because he's got this big release coming out. They wanted to make the New York Times bestseller list. And he has to go on tour, but he hates touring. So his idea of how to make that tour comfortable for him is to bring two of his frat brothers, who are also writers, along with him.
Okay.
So I thought it would be fun. I love writing in the male voice. I did it in The Bishop's Daughter, and it was fun. I have a lot of close friends who are guys. So I like to think that I kind of know what y'all are thinking about most of the time. So
you probably do. You probably have it down. I mean, and it's nothing
pretty
wrong with
that.
It sounds very interesting, and definitely want to get that. So kind of give us, before we get into that, I want to kind of give the number out for those that might be listening that want to call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, and it's Grown Folks Radio, and anything goes on Word Sexy Radio. So I see that we have a couple of listeners, and we're going to get to them in a minute, but I want to get you to kind of explain. You said you had these 10 books, and I know you can't go through all of them right now, but, you know, just kind of, you know, give the names of them and kind of, you know, a little small synopsis if you could.
Okay. My debut book was called What a Sister Should Do, and it's about three women who all go to the same church and they have a lot of drama in their lives. And it's about the power of prayer and how they pray their way out of their issues. The main character, Pam, has a husband who is a music producer, and he's concerned about money. He's smoking weed. He's got proteges all over the place. So she's praying about that. Then you have Yvonne, whose husband is he's a cheater. He's an abuser. And then Taylor is a single mom. So they all have these struggles that they're praying for. My second book was Farther Than I Meant to Go, Longer Than I Meant to Stay. And it's about a plus-size woman. Yeah, I love that title. And it had to grow on me because when my editor first told me, I was like, too many words.
Yeah,
but
it does seem like it's long, but it makes sense in what it's saying, and it intrigues you, actually, to see what are they talking about here, you know.
Yeah, but it's about a woman who was plus size and she never had a boyfriend, and she's 36 years old, very successful in her career, but not so successful at love. So when she meets this guy, he's everything that she's ever thought that she's dreamed of in her life, and he turns out to be crazy. So
He has to be something wrong with him, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a lot of secrets.
What kind of secrets? Can you give us a little bit of that?
Well,
I mean, you don't have to tell us everything, but just what is one of the main secrets he has?
Well, I will share with you one of the main secrets that he has is that financially he's not everything that he says he is. So he's presenting himself as someone who's about to start a business, and he's got this business plan. And Charmaine is successful. She's got a six-figure portfolio, and he's coming with, you know, dreams and, you know, a lot of fluff and smoke and mirrors. So, but that's not his biggest secret, but that was one of the secrets. That's one of the first things that she discovers about him.
Okay.
So.
But, you know, that's a big enough secret because, you know, when you broke, that's messed up.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you about that. You'll get the Batman.
I'm a listener.
Okay.
I'm a listener, Red Snapper, so I knew about it.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. So I'm going to see if one of these callers that we have here might have a question for you. We're going to see if 916 here, area code, has a question for you. Caller, do you have a question?
Hey, Red. Hello?
Hello, how are you? Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm Sacramento. This is Miss Cotton calling.
Okay. Are you driving, riding?
I'm riding.
Oh, okay. Did you have a question or you just wanted to listen?
I'm just listening, but I was going to ask after how she got started writing. I don't know if she said that. I might have missed it.
Okay. Tiffany, you want to answer that?
Yeah. How are you doing? I didn't catch your name.
It's Miss Cotton.
Miss Cotton?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, Miss Cotton, the comedian, Miss Cotton?
No.
Okay.
No.
I know Miss Cotton.
She's a distinguished poet.
Oh, okay. well, I got started writing. I started really writing short stories when I was a teenager. But how I got started in the industry, I was pregnant with my son, so this was about 2003, and I started writing. Actually, my second book. The second book that I released was actually the first book that I submitted trying to get a book deal, and I got a lot of rejection letters, lots and lots of rejection letters. But I got a very detailed rejection letter from Denise Stinson, who really gave me some positive feedback and some feedback on how to fix my writing, because I had never taken a writing class, so there were some very fundamental things wrong with my writing that I didn't even realize. And so that letter actually fueled the fire in me because, you know, basically she told me, listen, I think you're talented, but you need to go back to the basics. And so I did a lot of research. I cleaned up my work. And I put the second manuscript back on the shelf, and I actually wrote a new one because I was going through some very frustrating times, and my prayer life was increasing. So that's what made me write What a Sister Should Do about prayer. And when I started submitting this one, I got a call back from an agent who told me, you know, your book will be great for Walkworthy Press, but you don't need an agent to go to them. You can, you know, just go directly to Denise Stinson. But she was the one who had given me the rejection letter. So I was scared, you know. I was thinking, what if I'm not good enough? What if I didn't fix it well enough? But I sent it to her anyway, and a few weeks later I was signing a two-book deal. So that's how it all got started.
Wow, that's great. That's really great. That's a testimony for real.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Miss Cotton, I'm glad you called in. Miss Cotton is a good friend of mine, and she's also been on Word Sexy Radio a couple of times herself with her books. So we're just glad that you was able to call in, and it sounds like you're traveling, so we thank you for that.
Yeah, I have to show support, you know, always, because I believe that's one thing that us as African-Americans lack a lot of. So
Right.
It's always good to hear somebody else doing something more positive. So.
Right. Well, we thank you for calling in. You have any more questions?
No, that was my only question. I'm just going to listen from here on out. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Thank you for calling, Ms. Cotton.
Okay. All right. I think there's one more. Let me see here. Let me try this one here, 913 here in Kansas. Caller, are you there? State your name and where you're calling from. Hello? Okay. Maybe they just want to just listen. All right. Well, the number of anybody else out there is listening that just wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And like I said, it's Grown Folks Radio, but we talk about everything on this show. So it's not necessarily, because a lot of people get scared when they hear the word sexy. They think it's got to be erotica all the time or something like that. But it's not all the time, as we know. Right, Tiffany?
That's right.
So, you know, we like to bring our friends on. And Tiffany, I met her. I had the opportunity to meet her in Kansas City when she came here for the Fall into Literary Book Conference that was here. She's a very nice person, and I definitely wanted to have her on the show, and that's why she's here, and I'm glad that she accepted, and we definitely want to, you know, be hearing more from her in the future. And you said you got two books coming out, so we definitely got to get you back on when you do. So, but just tell us, how's things going as far as the books that you have out already? And, you know, kind of give, because there's some people on here that listen sometimes that are thinking about publishing or trying to get into the literary game as well. So kind of give us a little bit of kind of some of the things you experienced, because I know you're doing mainstream, but, you know, tell us how that kind of worked out. You kind of gave us a little bit already, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough business. It really is. And what you have to do is you have to find that audience that's going to continue to follow you from book to book to book. And really, when I came out with the Christian fiction was really hot right now as far as the publishers were concerned. And the major retailers were buying it up and ordering huge quantities. I think my first book shipped 17,000 copies in the first week. That's like unheard of for a debut author. But
right
at that time, it was very, very hot. Christian fiction was like the thing that everybody, you know, it was new genre, and there was not a lot of competition. Fast forward 2 or 3 years later, you've got Urban Christian, which is doing great things with Christian fiction, but they're putting out 2 or 3 books a month. So the competition is fierce, and you've got the same set of readers. It's a niche market. So you've got these same readers who are reading and dibbling and dabbling in all of the Christian fiction, but now they're spread out. Instead of there being 5 or 10 authors, now there's 40. So, I mean, it's a very tough business, and you have to find loyal readers that are going to go out and get your books the first week that they come out. I've never considered myself just to be a Christian fiction author. When I wrote What a Sister Should Do, that was what was on my heart at the time, so I wrote it. And I enjoy writing Christian fiction because I am a Christian, and I have, you know, a lot of I still have a lot to offer in that genre, but I also, that's not the only thing I write, nor is it the only thing I read. So, you know, I think that my fans won't be disappointed when they read Chocolate Dreams, because it's not, like you said, it's not erotica. It's not romance. It's really just, it's a fun story. My Christian fiction is kind of, there's a lot of issues there, because that's what Christian fiction does. We, you know, we take issues and then we break it down and we use the word, you know, and solve it. But this, it really is just a fun book. And I think my readers will enjoy it. It's going to be strictly an e-book. And we're just seeing how the e-book market is going to pan out.
Right. Well, you know, it's really very popular now, the e-books with the Nooks and the Kindles and all that stuff. And I think that that's a good move for you to do that, because, you know, I don't think that, and we kind of talked about that in the conference when we were here in Kansas City, but I don't think that paperbacks will ever totally fold out, because some people just love that tradition. But then you got some people that just like the computer age, and they want to be able to download a book and have it, you know, where they don't have to carry a lot of books with them or whatever. They just have that device with them to do it. But, you know, I think it's pretty good. Plus, it's easier. I mean, you know, when you publish these books, you don't even have to have a ISBN or anything like that. You can just publish them. And right now, with Barnes & Noble and Amazon and a lot of these companies, they're having people come in that's not mainstream. You know, they might be independent publishers, and they can just come in and just publish right straight the way you're talking about through a Kindle or something like that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, with technology and the way things are going now, I mean, the publishing game has changed tremendously, I'm sure, when you started.
It definitely has. It has, and it's, for me, publishing an ebook, I mean, it doesn't cost me anything to write a book. And, you
right.
know, so I pay for a book cover. I already have ISBN numbers. So, really, I do my own formatting. It's really, really
right.
low overhead for me to publish an ebook, and it's going to be primarily profit for me. So, I mean,
right.
to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm not publishing any other adult fiction right now, so it's just, why not?
Yeah, I hear you.
I never run out of stories, so that
yeah.
to me is an endless commodity.
right, I hear you. And like I said, most of my books, I'm an independent publisher, so most of the books that I have been independently published, and I just signed a deal with Fink Inc., and I'm doing a couple of books with that company now, which is the same company. You remember Jean Holloway, right? She writes for that company
mm-hmm.
as well. So I got a chance to speak with the CEO of that company, and they saw some stuff that I'm doing. Because I don't just write erotica. I mean, most of my stuff is erotic, but I do write paranormal erotic as well. So, you know, I don't want to just be stuck in erotica either, or, you know, just one genre. So, but it just so happened that these books that I'm doing, and they were interested in, so I decided to go ahead and do it with them, even though I have my own publishing company. You know, I just want to spread myself around. I don't want to just be stuck in one avenue, you know what I'm saying? You know, just because
yeah.
you own a company doesn't mean you got to just stick with just what you do. You know, I want to do other things as well, and I see that in you, so.
That's the reason why I did the young adult fiction. I have two book series with Kensington Publishing. It's my young adult, and
uh-huh.
it's a total departure from everything that I'm doing with the adult fiction. And, you know, I just want to show my versatility as an author. I can write a
right.
very serious book that will have you in tears about a woman's struggles, and I can also write a teen book about the music industry. I mean, I describe myself as a writing chameleon. I try to improve with each book that I write. I mean, sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss, but, I mean, that's just part of it. So.
Right. Well, you know, that's just it, though. I mean, because, you know, the brand is you anyway. It's not the books. And a lot of people that get into the game, they think the books are the brand. And a lot of times people, they don't understand that you got to get out there and you have to hustle yourself, no matter who you sign with or if you're doing it on your own publishing. The only way that your brand can get out there is people have to know who you are as a person. And
mm-hmm.
once they see how you are and know that you know, you're a real person like they are, and you just happen to be an author that's writing books for them to enjoy, then I think mm-hmm. they'll be more apt to want to buy and purchase and support you. You know what I'm saying? Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. I think, especially with our consumer, African Americans, we like to, you know, we like to be up close and personal
right.
with the people we support. That's why Tyler Perry is so successful, because he
right.
has this, you know, his fans feel like they have a connection with him, even if it's just a blog post they're getting with him from him about something he's frustrated about. It's because he's made that connection, and they are loyal supporters. Even if the critics, you know, destroy his movie, they're going to come out. And that's just how we are as consumers. I think the other thing that I know about African-American consumers is that we like toys. We will buy the new e-reader and, you know, maybe not have everything taken care of that needs to be taken care of, because that's what we do. We like toys. We buy the new phones, big screen TVs. That's how we roll.
You can say it the way you want to say it. I mean, just say it how you really want to say it. I mean, we buy stuff and we don't pay our bills sometimes.
Hey.
Yeah,
you know, that's what we do. I'm
it.
Guilty of
that's
it,
right.
too.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you do that. But, you know, I think, you know, it depends on what it is. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it depends on what you're trying to do, too. Like, if you know this is your last little money and it's the amount you need to get that dream, you know, you try to do that. But I understand what you're saying. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I think that, you know, and I haven't really had a chance to read any of your books, but I'm definitely gonna do that because I want to read different stuff. But see, my problem is I like reading, but I'm writing so much, and I don't like to have somebody else's reading or their stuff in my mind, even though it's good to read other authors because you can learn some different things on the techniques that they write. But sometimes I feel like if I'm writing and I'm reading someone's work, I don't want it to get into my thoughts and end up in my book or something like that. I mean, not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think the more you write, the more you will develop your own voice. I mean,
right.
Everybody, when they come out the gate, sounds like somebody, like who their favorite
right.
author was. I mean, when I came out, I was trying to be the Christian fiction version of Terry McMillan. And I think you
right,
see a
right,
lot
right.
of Terry McMillan influences in my first book. I was nowhere near as good as Miss McMillan. But, like, the run-on sentences and the speaking in first person, stuff that,
right.
you know, everybody, she was very unconventional with her writing. And so
right.
I like that about her. And so, you know, my first book definitely was a sound alike, not a great imitation, but you could definitely see the influences. And
right.
but I think the more I write, I have to discover my own voice. So now
yeah.
I can, you know, I can read Eric Dickey if I want to know like how to leave somebody hanging or how to do proper pacing, you know,
because yeah,
he's my
that,
favorite author. So you knew I was going to bring him up in the interview, but
exactly, yeah, he's my frat brother, so you know I care about him quite dearly. So yeah. Yeah, I understand that. But, yeah, you're right. Like, I was told, I don't know, I'm not saying I am, but somebody told me who had read some of my stuff that they thought that I wrote like Walter Mosley. But, you know, that's just too much. I can't take that because that's just too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he is amazing.
I want to have my own voice. He is, mm-hmm. and I know I'm not writing like him, but maybe they just thought I was, you know. But that sounded good, but I know I'm not, so... I'm trying to get my own voice, and that's the importance. But tell us more about your other books, because I want to hear more about some of your other writings that you have. And then, you know, I want you also to be able to tell people how they can get your stuff and where you're going to be, like if you're doing any book signings or anything. I know that's a lot, but give us a little bit. Like, what is out of your books you have? Like, because we got 32 minutes. Just
okay.
kind of give us a synopsis on a couple of the ones that you like, or even if you don't like, whatever, the ones that you think that people should know about.
I really enjoy writing In the Midst of It All. That was my most recent adult title. It came out in February of 2010. And
uh-huh.
it was about a young woman who has these premonitions or visions, and she's taking care of her mother who has schizophrenia. So it's a lot of
uh-huh.
dark topics, but I just like to write whatever I want to write, honestly.
But, you know, but that's good, though. I mean, I mean, what's wrong with that? You say it's a lot of darkness. I don't see that. I see it as a great story about somebody dealing with something like that. It's life. It's what people go through, and that's what people want
exactly.
to read, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
so.
I think that people want to read it, but I think what happens is the publishers don't really know how to sell it. Like, they're like,
yeah,
we love
it.
This. Now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you're right. And I guess that's kind of like the difference in when you self-publish because, you know, like I'm doing some books. I got one that I'm writing about a guy who's in the necrophilia, you know, because the wife that he had deprived him and he ended up accidentally killing her. Which
oh, Lord.
Triggers him what ends up triggering him into wanting to kill women to have sex with them. The only way he can do it because of that. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it just depends. Like you said, a lot of people don't know how to sell stuff. You know, I'm
right.
also doing another book called Acts of Congress, which is about a guy, three congressmen or congresspeople that end up messing with this escort service, and the person is a transvestite, and they all trying to, you know, keep it secret. So, I mean, you know, it just depends. You know,
that's
all the
life,
stuff.
Though.
That's what I'm saying. It's life. They,
yeah.
they know this person is this way, but they still want to deal with it until something happens to this person, and then they try to cover it up. But, I mean, like you said, a lot of people don't know how to publish that, or not publish it, but how to market that because they're worried that people are going to be offended or whatever the reason.
Well, it's not – so much as they're worried that the readers are going to be offended. If they think it's a good story, it's more about how to get the major retailers to buy it in large quantities. That's what the publisher
right.
is worried about. But from a self-publishing
yeah.
perspective, you're just selling your story directly to readers. So it's a totally
right.
different dynamic.
Right.
But, you know, retailers sometimes shy away, especially when it's written by an African-American. We, like, you know, I put my book cover for Chocolate Dreams up on Facebook, and it's funny because the book cover is actually supposed to be a box of candy.
Uh-huh.
And it has a strawberry with chocolate. Yeah, it's on my Facebook page. And
it
it's
is?
A
okay.
strawberry with chocolate. That's it. The chocolate is dripping off the strawberry. The comments
right.
on the photo are hilarious because they're like, ooh, what is this book about? I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they think it's sensuous and sexy and all that, right?
Yeah. I agree. Chocolate-covered strawberries are definitely sensuous and sexy, but they are also yummy.
right.
So, but I like the response that I've gotten from the book cover because it's, you know, I like that it's intriguing. What I thought about was how Stephanie Meyer came out with those Twilight books, and the covers were so intriguing to me because it was just one thing on the cover. And it was
right.
the cover was black, and you've got this shock of red, and you have no
right.
idea what the book is about. Black people
right.
write a book; they always want to put black folks on the cover. I mean,
all
and I love beautiful black people, but
yeah.
we can also have intriguing covers that don't tell you anything about the story; they just make you want to pick the book up and see what it's about.
And you're right; that's a good marketing ploy that you have. That's correct. I agree with you on that. Yes. And, you know, I'm looking for it now. I'm all in here looking for your cover. But
it's on my wall photos.
Okay.
I'll tag you in it so you can see it.
Okay. But, you know, I think that's a good idea because, like you said, and it's a shame, you know, it kind of, I hate to say it, but in a way, it kind of goes back into the marketing ploy that they used to do back in the 40s and 50s. You know how they used to have African-American it was African-American music. And you know how the in order to get people to buy, they used to have to put, like, white people on them or something
mm-hmm.
else so it wouldn't look black?
Right.
And it's a shame that we have to do that in certain genres because everybody thinks that all we write is urban fiction or something like that, and that's the only thing we can read. So if you're writing a mystery or something like that, you can't put if you put a black person on it, it's like, no, you can't do that. That's not going to work, you know.
Well,
I'd say
African-American books that are, you know, kind of Christian fiction, maybe inspirational fiction, the covers look the same as, you know, a romance book maybe. And it's like,
right.
okay, we can't get a little bit more creative than this, than like if we put some black people on the cover, black folks will buy it. I mean, I think that is such narrow-minded thinking. I mean, and I do understand the marketing aspect of you have to know who your audience is.
Right.
But at the same time, you can know who your audience is and still try to, you know, broaden your reach. And that's the whole, I mean, if you don't ever broaden your audience, you're going to, you know, stay at the same level. And publishers
right.
don't want you to stay at the same level. If you're not selling more
right.
and more books with each release, they're going to drop you. So,
exactly.
But, you know, it's a dilemma of their own doing. So they do
right.
the same thing
right.
but want different results. And,
right.
you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and I guess that's, you know, I'm glad that you're telling this because the people that are listening, I'm sure if they're thinking about trying to go with mainstream or whatever, and and we're not saying it in a negative. If you can get in that way, then that's great. But the thing is you know, there's all these options that you have, and what you're giving me, I'm learning from you as well, you know, how to market these books, you know, because the marketing is definitely what gets people to read your books. And if you're giving them the same kind of crap and that's all you want to give them is something that way, then I guess then you'll end up getting the same result. But if you want to expand and broaden your fan base, then you need to kind of, I guess, be subliminal.
Yeah, I mean, And definitely write a good story. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can market the heck out of a book, but if the inside of it is garbage, I mean, you're not going to have return readers. And I know some people who are marketing geniuses. They can get somebody to buy anything. But being an author, if you want a longevity in this business, you've got to have it to where readers are coming back. They want the next release. They want to be there when the bookstore opens to get your next book. I mean, it's about writing something that is going to resonate with readers every time, and that is a hard job. It's really hard.
I love this cover. This is a beautiful cover.
Thank you.
Very ingenious. I mean, you know, if anything, it intrigues the person to want to read it. Even if it's not what they think. I mean, they may think it's a certain thing. It looks sexy and it looks inviting. And like you said, it looks like Chocolate Dreams. You know, and they're going to go in there and look for Chocolate Dreams, and whatever they find, of course, they'll find. And I think they'll find Chocolate Dreams. So, you know, especially if you're talking about three brothers, so.
And I feel like the treat is always a good story. I am an avid reader. I read about maybe three or four books a month. So to me, the treat is having a good story once you open the page. And that's really what I try to deliver. I just want a good story every time, no matter what the backdrop is. I wrote The Bishop's Daughter was about a young man who's trying to find a scandal on a megachurch. And that book was fun to write because he ends up falling in love with the bishop's daughter. And there's a lot of, you know, just relationship drama, and he finds out a scandal, but then now he doesn't want to, you know, release it because he's fallen in love with this girl. And so that, to me, I've never been a romance writer, but that was the story that I was feeling at the time, and it turned out to be, you know, not the formula romance or not the typical romance, but it really was like a romantic comedy type story. So,
well, it sounds like it definitely was. I mean, like you said, you always want to be able to have twists and turns in your stories anyway, where people think one thing and then they find out it's something else at the end, or you turn them completely in a different direction. And that's what intrigues me when I'm reading. You know, I try to write like that as well. But, you know, when you did that and having it where this guy was like looking a way to get over on this church, and he ends up falling in love with the daughter, and then he pulls back. I mean, that sounds like a movie. You know, it sounds like something that should be, you know, on the big screen, and something that happens. You know, so there are people out there that do these kind of things, you know, and it's a legit story. I mean, and you just write what you feel, and that's good that you're able to do that, because a lot of times, you know, like you said, some people, you know, they may write for companies and they may not let them completely write the way they want to. So.
I've had publishers reach out to me and ask me to write a specific thing. I mean, even my agent wanted me to write some very specific kind of things. And to me, if I'm not feeling it, it's not going to be a good story. If it's not going to be a good story, I don't want my name on it.
Right. So how do you deal with that? How do you cope with that?
Well, I mean, to me, it's about the slow and steady race. It's not about trying to rush and have a book released every year because you got to keep your name out there. I feel like, to me, if I'm able to write the best book that I can write for whatever given time frame, that's going to be more beneficial to me over the long haul. So when I have my agent tell me, you know, why don't you try writing this? And it's not me at all. And I know it's not going to be a successful story because I'm not feeling it. You know, I give pushback. You know, it's her job to make me money. So I just want to put that out there. Well, she's not giving me bad advice. She's telling me what I can do to make money. But, you know, to me, all money is not good money. If I get a book deal for writing something that's not going to be authentic for me, it's not. It's not good for me in the long run. So I just...
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that because, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but you know, the reason why I say I like that is because I don't know if all writers that write for mainstream companies get the same latitude that you have. I don't know if they have that. And it sounds to me that you have some control to a point that, you know, because a lot of times you hear about a lot of these companies, they tell you to write this or whatever, you know, get out or, you know, so, but it seems like you have a lot of control.
Well, I've been blessed to have some really good editors. When I was at Grand Central, I was working with Karen Thomas, and basically she trusted me with the Christian fiction to write a story that was going to be inspirational, and she knew that no matter what the premise was, it was going to, you know, come out with an inspiring, you know, the heart of it was going to be inspiring, and that it was going to work as far as that Christian fiction audience goes. So I think maybe because she wasn't all that, you know, most of her other authors weren't Christian fiction, so she kind of gave me latitude because she trusted me to do what I do. At Kensington, with the young adult books, I mean, I've got a very cooperative team over there. Mercedes Fernandez and Selena James are incredible, and they really, you know, they listen to my feedback. You know, we had the stories that we're coming up with are such a collaborative effort. So I feel like I've been really blessed to have some good editors. I mean, everybody doesn't have that. So,
right.
You know, I think that's wonderful that I've been able to do that. Now, as far as having latitude, I mean, you have latitude in your creativity, especially if they think you're a good artist. But if the sales don't match up, you know, I don't care how much latitude they're giving you, you're going to find yourself without a book deal. So,
right.
I mean, it goes both ways. You have to be ready for that sometimes. You have to be ready for your creativity to not necessarily be embraced by the masses. You have to be ready
right.
for that.
So do you prefer, in your experience, going in the mainstream like you are now, just doing it that way, or do you think maybe in the future you might want to do it on your own, or do you just like it the way it is, or, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, my Chocolate Dreams book, I'm self-publishing, because
right.
I'm not
okay.
under contract right now for the adult books. I only have the young adult book deal. So I don't see anything wrong with self-publishing. I think it's wonderful, especially if you've already done the mainstream publishing thing and published with a publishing house and you've established an audience. I mean, why not? To me, there are so many avenues of publishing and, you know, there are a lot of good ways to make money writing. And so any avenue that's going to allow me to write what I want to write and still make money is a valid option for me.
Okay.
So.
Well, that sounds good. And like I said, you know, most of mine, I have 7 books out, and all of them have been done on my own as far as, you know, the independent publishing. And I like it because, you know, I can control when the book's coming out and, you know, how long the book is and, you know, the covers and stuff like that. But still, you know, I still want to get that experience on the other side as well. But but like I said, I'm now with Jean Holloway's company that she's with, and well, I'm definitely excited about that. So I'm going to be doing a couple of books with them as well. So we'll definitely keep it going. And I just love to write, so I write because I like it. I mean, the money would be great, but but you know, I just like writing, and I like going into that world and disappearing, and you know, from reality sometimes, and creating another world and getting into it, and then when I'm done with it, I can come back, you know, of course, and face this. But you know, it's just,
yeah,
I'll quote
something. An industry insider. He said that, you know, if you're just writing for the love of writing and you're the only person who want to read that book that's probably not fit for the marketplace. I mean, we all write for the love of it. You know, people who are really like artists, like Red Snapper, I know you are an artist with it because I've seen what you do.
Right.
But it can be a very successful career, and I don't want to lose sight of that because I think there are a lot of people out here who are publishing books flooding the marketplace, and they're just saying, well, you know, I just want to do it for, you know, because I always wanted to write a book. Well,
right.
Did you always want a career as an author? Because if you don't really want a career of it, and you're putting out bad books, you know, you're really hurting the marketplace more than you're helping it. If you just want to write a book because you always wanted to write a book, write that book and publish it and give it to your friends and family. Don't stink up the marketplace with it. And that's just real talk.
And I believe I'm with you on that. And I'm not saying that I'm all that, but you know, I mean, you know what I've been doing. You see what I do. You know, I'm doing this thing because I love it, and I'm trying not to put out garbage, you know.
Right.
I know I had a couple of books that came out that had some editing issues, but we're working that out too. So, I mean, all of that, you know, you can tell when somebody's trying to do something for love or they're just doing it for money, because there are people that use it as a hustle. You know, they change from whatever to this new product, and they deal with it the same way. You know, I'm not down on those people, but I mean, there are some people that may have been into drugs before, and now they're writing books. But you know, that's good, and this is good. You know, but like you said,
I say that writing is a craft; it's not a hustle.
Yeah.
So when I hear people, you know, all about the hustle, I mean,
you definitely have to
be a marketing mind, but you can't. It can't just be about that. It can't. It has to be the perfect marriage between writing a good story and then trying to sell it. I mean, anything else is like an abomination.
Yeah,
you can't just be all about, you know, I'm into the art and I'm just, you know, I'm an artist and I don't do marketing and I don't do interviews and heaven forbid an e-blast. But you can't also be about, like, I don't have time to perfect my craft because I got to get out here and hustle. I mean, it's two opposite ends of a crazy spectrum.
You're right. Hey, you know, you are absolutely correct. And there are people out there that's thinking in that same, in that aspect. You're right. Some of them are looking at it, like you said, it's just a hustle for them. You know, they just think it's a way to get rich, and trust me, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme if that's what you're looking for. I say that all the time on this show. I try to let people understand that, you know, you definitely got to love it. And what gets me is when people come to me and they say, well, I want to write a book, but I ain't got time. So what are you talking about then? If you want to write a book but you don't have time, then why do you want to write a book? Unless you want to give your story to someone else, and it's always about them. Oh, I want to write about myself, my life.
Oh,
you know,
Lord. I can't tell you how many emails.
Yeah.
Emails
right.
I get.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You should write my life story. Ooh, I got a story for you. Okay, everybody's life has a story, but not everybody's story is a book that I want to write.
Yeah. So. And you get that a lot, you know, and I mean, I've written all these books that I've written, but I haven't even written about myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I want to write about myself. You know, I like creating the characters and everything that I do.
Exactly.
But you don't understand. Exactly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, maybe one day I'll write a book about something that happened in my life. But right now, I'm not there. You know, and there's nothing wrong with people that want
people... No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, babe, go ahead.
I always ask people when they say they want to write a book about their life story is, who wants to read it? Because really biographies and autobiographies, if you're not a celebrity, who really wants to read that other than your friends and family?
Exactly. And they don't want to read it. I mean, you know, it's just them thinking, you know, well, you know, I've been through some things. Now, I could see if you want to write about yourself to a certain point, you make it into a fiction. And not necessarily write about everything you've done, but kind of make it into a story that's developed well and use some attributes or something that happened to you. But, you know, when people want you to write, well, I want you to write about me and what I did, and they only 20-something years old. Oh, come on now. I mean, what have you done?
Well, they think
you know,
it's exciting.
So,
they think it's exciting.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes to, you know, to kind of give them real talk, because as soon as you tell them, you know, nobody wants to read that. You are a number one world-class hater. You got a player-hater degree and, you know.
You know, they think you better them because you already been published or whatever. You know, it's crazy. You're right.
But, you know, I tell them, you know, yes, I have published 10 books, but I still work for the government. So don't look at it like, you know, I'm trying to discourage you from doing something glamorous and fabulous. It's hard work. You got to love it. And you can't just do it thinking you're going to make some money. If I was balling out of control, I would not be going to my 9 to 5, you know, every day.
Yeah,
because
I go to mine. I work for the government, too. So, yeah, I'm there every day. So,
government.
I mean, that's right. So, you know, I go and work for them, and then I come home and write. You know, it's just the way it is, you know. And and like I said, one day, I mean, if I get a major deal one day, that's great. If not, then I'm still going to keep writing because I love it. And it's not really about the money. I mean, money helps. I'm not going to say I don't want any money. But to me, it's just not about the money. I just love writing, and I want to get better at it. And that's what I'm trying to do. So, you know, and I know that you are. And I'm definitely going to – I want some of your books. I want them signed by you, though. But I want to get your books. And I'll get you my address and everything because I definitely want to get a book and I want to read it and, you know, and I always knew, even though I hadn't read any of your books, I knew that you were a great author. And like I said, when I had a chance to meet you and talk to you in person and seeing how you was as a person, that's what intrigued me to even look at what you had. Because I'm going to tell you, maybe other people don't think this way, but I do. I mean, if I meet some people and they act very arrogant and they, oh, I'm this because I've done that, then that turns me off. I don't even want to get interested in it. But if you are a regular person, a genuine person like you, and you're not got the big head, you have 10 books out there, about to have 12. But you are not arrogant, and you're not nasty. You're a person, and you're a loving, caring person, and that makes me want to get involved in what you're doing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree because, people might not necessarily remember all the times that you're nice to them, but they definitely remember that one time you were funky to them. And,
oh, yeah, they're going to remember that.
You know, I try to treat everybody, you know, the same way that I want to be treated. And because I'm an avid reader, I like to meet some of my favorite authors. And if they're, like, mean to me, or, you know, just like haughty, like, you know, oh, I'm only going to sign one of those books, and I've got like five of their books that I bought.
Right.
You know,
right.
That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And I know it's hard sitting up there signing books. You know, I know it's difficult. But at the same time,
right,
you have to appreciate every single last person who's sowing into you, who's sowing into your career, who's, you know, trying to help you get to the next level, because you can't take that for granted. I answer every single last email that I get from a reader within 2 to 3 hours, unless I'm, like, without my email all day. Because I don't think, why should someone send me an email saying I loved your work and me not give them a personal response immediately? And, you know, I will continue to do that until I get more emails than I can handle, which is not yet. So
You know, that's why I love you, because you're a great person, and that's what intrigues me with you. You know, that's what I like about you. You know, and I'm going to learn more about you by reading your books. That in itself, like I said, is important to me about you as a person. So that's the brand. And those people that are out there listening, if you want to write, the brand is you, how you present yourself.
Right.
It's not the work. It's you. So if you want people to read your books, I'm not saying you gotta kiss their butts, but you gotta be a person that is loving, and you know, you gotta be somebody that they wanna talk to. Somebody they feel like they can relate with. If they're reading your work, they wanna be able to relate with what's going on. So, you know, if they can't do that, then what are you writing for?
You know,
we got about 6 minutes. Go ahead and say that, and then I want you to be able to go ahead and tell people how to get your books and stuff.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that I have a servant's personality, so that's just who I am, you know. So I don't think of it as kissing people's butts. I think
of it
as appreciation.
It's not kissing butts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people might think that, but it's not. You know, and it is appreciation. But, you know, my thing, I didn't mean this, if I hope I didn't offend you. What I mean is that you, because of the loving spirit you have, even if you wasn't a Christian or whatever, I think you would be this type of person anyway. So that you have in itself makes me, and I'm a fan, to want to read your book or, you know, to get it and see what it is that makes you tick. So, but
thank
I mean,
you.
I don't want to be no asshole or nothing like that, because there are some out there that are like that. You go up to them and you know, I met some of them, you know.
I met
you
some of them, too.
And you know them. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say no names, but, you know, I mean, they'll let you, they'll act funny with you because you may be an independent publisher or whatever, and they feel like you ain't nothing because you didn't make it the way they did, or I don't know, but it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
You're not doing it for them anyway. You're doing it for the fans, and that's
exactly.
That's what it's about. So we got 5 minutes, and I want you to kind of tell people, you know, how they can get your books, and where you're going to be at, if you're doing any book signings or anything. And, you know, just let them know how they can get in contact with you if they you know, want to.
Well, you can get my books everywhere books are sold. So if you all of my adult books are in the e-format. You can go on Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, Borders, any of the major chains. A lot of the independent publishers and our bookstores carry my books, and I, of course, want to shout them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pretty much get my books wherever books are sold.
Right.
As far as me doing signings, let me see. I will be in L.A. for my first time in April at the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to be in L.A. for about 5 days. I've never been there before, so I'm excited about that. And I will be there as Nikki Carter, actually, signing my young adult books.
Okay.
Yep. And I will be at the Fall Into Books Literary Conference again this
okay,
year.
Okay, well, I would definitely see you there because I'm going to be there.
Yep. I'll have
in
the faith and fiction right in St. Louis, and I'm back
right.
away. I've never been to St. Louis either.
You're gonna love.
It's a big city, and I'm a Midwest girl. I'm from Ohio, so I know I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Good.
I have the Faith and Fiction Retreat, which is my big event that I do every year, and it's right outside of Jacksonville this year in June.
Okay.
And I think that's it for me on book conferences. I may be doing the book conference in New Orleans over the Essence Festival weekend. I have to see if I can get some time off work to do that one. But, you know, I'll be at the Essence Festival. So if you see me, you got a book, whip it out. I'll sign it.
I know, that's right. Well. Man, I tell you, you know, Tiffany, I thank you so much for coming on the show and taking time out of your busy schedule to come on Word Sexy Radio, and I'm glad you came on, even though you probably thought I was going to be asking you all these erotica stuff, but I
had no idea what you were
going to
ask me. I had some prepared answers for you.
Did you? Well, no, I wanted you to be comfortable because I'm your friend, if nothing else. So,
yeah.
So don't even be scared to talk to me. Okay?
Well, I had a wonderful time. I appreciate you for having me. And, you know, for all the listeners, hit me up on Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time. I'm on Facebook on my phone. And Tiffany L. Warren, I have an author page, too, but I'm bad. I'm hardly ever on there. Come on my personal profile.
Right.
And get at me. And we have a class talking about books and everything else under the sun. So.
Okay. Well, look, you got to come back on. Is that book already out now, the e-book?
No, Chocolate Dreams is coming out at the end of March.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going to have to get you back on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on, and we thank you for coming on Word Sexy Radio.
Well, you have a wonderful Word Sexy kind of evening.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we thank you all for listening, and we're going to let you go on our gaze.